You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
That's right, and this week we talk about the government putting a stop to offshore oil exploration permits. This was originally a Green Party policy that the government has now adopted. And I also asked James about the US, UK and France attacking Syria over the weekend in response to alleged chemical attacks. Green Party MP Golriz Gardaman also wrote an interesting piece on it on the spin-off, which is worth a read. So to start off with, we'll start with oil exploration. So the government announced last week that no new permits for offshore oil exploration will be granted. And this is being portrayed as a middle ground between economic and environmental interests. Do you think this is a fair assessment?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the thing about it is that the oil and gas industry is going to be operational in New Zealand for several decades to come. What we did last week was we signalled that there will be a point at which, you know, it kind of expires, if you like. And so what that means is that we really need to send that long-term message into the marketplace to say it's time to start looking for alternatives while we transition away from fossil fuels.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was this actually a Green Party policy?
Yes, it was. So, I mean, we've been very clear for a number of years that you cannot be serious about doing something about climate change and continue to look for new sources of fossil fuels. Scientists around the world tell us that about 80% of the current known reserves of fossil fuels cannot be burned if we're to have any hope of fitting within the 2-degree global warming target as agreed in Paris. And so what we're saying, you know, here in New Zealand is, well, we intend to act consistently with that and to start phasing out the use of those fuels over time.
So Greenpeace's Russell Norman, former leader of the Green Party, said they are disappointed that onshore Taranaki, where communities have to deal with ongoing fracking and exploration, is exempt from the ban, and that existing offshore exploration contracts will remain. Do you share his sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, the difficulty is, you know, we have said that we would continue with new exploration permits onshore for the next 3 years. And then review it again in 3 years' time. My preference would have been to include the onshore along with the offshore. However, there is some work that needs to be done, or that is currently being done, around things like security of supply and where gas fits into our electricity system as what we call that as a transition fuel. And so we've essentially said, look, you know, we're going to start phasing this out now. As we get clearer about the future state of the energy system, that's when we'll exclude the onshore as well.
So this kind of brings me on to my next question. So National has called this move economic vandalism and devoid of any rationale, with climate change spokesperson Todd Muller adding that less gas production means more coal being burnt and higher carbon emissions. What do you make of that?
Well, it's simply incorrect, actually. So all of that, so the National Party's reaction assumes that literally nothing is going to change in the way that either New Zealand or the rest of the world generate electricity and other forms of energy over the course of the coming decades. So at the moment, we use gas in order to cope with a what we call a dry year, when the big hydroelectric dams in the South Island are running low on water. But the reason that we haven't done anything about that is because we use gas, right? So there's this kind of circular argument saying, well, you know, we need to continue using gas essentially because we're currently using gas. Now, that just doesn't stack up. If you say that the world is moving towards a fossil fuel-free future, which it is, and admittedly some countries are moving faster than others on this, but that is the direction of travel of the whole world. And so we know that at some point in the next few decades, energy is going to become fossil fuel free. So it just doesn't make sense for us to go looking for new sources of fossil fuels when we know that we're going to be phasing them out.
So what do you think the next step is on this crusade for a greener future?
Well, there's a whole lot of things that the government is doing at the moment which are all linked to this. So a couple of weeks ago, Phil Twyford and Julianne Genta made a fairly significant announcement changing the government policy statement on transport and, you know, significantly redirecting, you know, our transport investment into things like regional roads, light rail in our main cities, heavy rail in between our cities to try and get some of those trucks off the road onto rail, you know, active modes of cycling and walking, all of that kind of stuff. So that itself will have a massive impact because transport emissions are actually a really large part of our overall profile. We're also announcing soon setting up an interim climate committee, which is going to look at the question around, you know, agriculture and the emissions trading scheme. And we're going to continue heavily investing in ways of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture. My colleague Eugenie Sage has sort of started to look at our waste problem here in New Zealand, which is not something that we've paid a great deal of attention to in the past few decades. And we know that also we've got very high emissions from waste. So, you know, we're working right across a whole number of fronts to try and make sure that, you know, we're upgrading our economy in every part of our economy. And as we do so, that we're driving down our greenhouse gas emissions and also building in resilience for the future, because we also know that New Zealand is increasingly exposed to the effects of climate change as well.
A lot of people might be wondering, what's the point in New Zealand pursuing this course of action if much larger, far more polluting countries aren't changing or aren't changing fast enough? What would you say to them?
Well, it is a good question, right? And it does come up a lot. The thing, so, you know, as everybody knows, New Zealand emits or accounts for less than 1% of global greenhouse gas emissions. But if you add up all of the countries that each individually emit 1% or less of the global total, and there are 96 countries that fit into that category of 1% or less, then collectively we add up to 24% of the global total. Now, China amounts, you know, is 25%, and the United States is 15%. So the small countries of the world can have as much of an impact on global greenhouse gas emissions as China, and we can far exceed that of the United States. Now, obviously, everybody's got to do their part, and like I said, I know that some countries are moving faster on this than others, but I think that is one of the reasons why the Prime Minister has signalled that she wants New Zealand to adopt a leadership position along with other countries like France and the UK and others, because as we upgrade our economies, it will become more and more attractive for other countries to join that club. We also know, you know, I know that China is a massive emitter of greenhouse gas emissions, but they are actually moving extremely quickly on this, right? So they've stopped building coal-fired power stations. They're massively switching to renewables. I know Auckland City was showing off its first few electric buses over this weekend. Well, Shenzhen in China has 14,000 fully battery electric buses on the road. So, you know, they are moving pretty quickly on this.
So now let's move to the US-led attack on Syria over the weekend. The US, UK and France attacked supposed chemical weapons facilities in Syria in response to alleged chemical attacks on civilians in Douma. And Prime Minister Ardern said she accepts why the strikes took place, adding that the use of chemical weapons violates international law. But Green MP Golraz Gharaman has called the US attack a breach of international law and merely a move to serve economic interests. Do you agree with Golraz on this?
Well, look, I agree with both the Prime Minister and with Golraz on this. So this is something where, you know, the Green Party does have a different view of things, that we actually we do believe that the US attack was unlawful under international law. But of course, you know, using chemical weapons on your own citizens or using chemical weapons at all is also a breach of international law. Our point is that, you know, bombing in the name of peace in the Middle East has not worked out so far, and perhaps it's time to try something else. The conflict in Syria has been extended and made worse by foreign intervention so far. So, you know, when the US says, well, we're moving to try and, you know, contain the conflict or stop the conflict, they've actually got operatives on the ground and have had operatives on the ground for a number of years supplying you know, rebels with weapons and training them and so on, you know, participating and essentially extending the conflict over there. There is no good side of this. You know, I think, you know, the international community has completely failed in Syria. That's evident. And also the Assad regime is obviously, you know, murderous, and it's extraordinary that they could even consider using chemical weapons, let alone on their own citizens.
So do you accept unequivocally that Assad did use chemical weapons on his own citizens last week?
I think that that's what the balance of the evidence shows at the moment. There were supposed to be inspectors arriving in the next, in fact, I think today or over the weekend, but of course that's been delayed by, or perhaps even put off permanently by the missile strikes.
So what stance do you think the New Zealand government should take on this?
Well, I think that New Zealand can play a role here, particularly when it comes to humanitarian aid and support. I mean, we've actually been saying this for a number of years, that we think that New Zealand can and should increase the quota of refugees that we take from Syria, that we can play a role when it comes to peacekeeping. And, you know, generally we're sort of regarded as an honest broker who tends not to take sides in what is a fairly intractable conflict.
On Goldwiz's comments of these attacks by the US and the UK serving their own economic interests, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, everything in the Middle East, all of these conflicts for years, whether it's Syria or Iraq and others, have generally been fueled by geopolitical positioning in order to secure oil supplies. I mean, that's kind of been the background to most of these conflicts. And the kind of ongoing conflict, and I know somebody said that the Cold War is back, but the ongoing kind of conflict between you know, the US on the one side and Russia on the other certainly is exacerbating it. So these things tend to be made worse when the so-called great powers of the world get involved rather than made better.
Do you think this might also be serving the self-interests of Trump and May? I mean, wars seem to do quite well in terms of prime ministerial and presidential opinion polls.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been a suspicion, hasn't it? That they, you know, they're quite good excuses for presidents to make themselves more popular by appearing more presidential. I think, you know, I think if that were true, that would be appalling. I can't obviously speculate on what's in the mind of President Trump or his regime, but you know, regardless, I think whatever the motivation was, the fact that the strikes were carried out without even any reference to the international order and the United Nations and so on, I think just illustrates that we are entering a period where the international rule of law is in real danger.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
It's a ghastly situation, right? It's one of those situations where, you know, we as Kiwis who aren't exposed to this kind of conflict very much, you know, we sort of sit on the sidelines and kind of, you know, feel fairly helpless and look at what we can do. I would just say, you know, like I said, I think that there are things that we can do on the humanitarian front that we should bend our minds to.
So instead of attacking people, help them, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the point that we were trying to make over the weekend, is that when the international community gets involved by airstrikes and so on, things tend to get worse rather than better.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.